Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise God. Matthew 14. Look at somebody next to you and say, this is going to be good. Come on, put the pressure on me. Say, this is going to be good. Well, I got to tell you what, we're just putting the pressure on the Holy Spirit today because He's always good. He's always good. Let me read you this story before we get started here. It says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Everybody say, in the middle of the sea. It was tossed by waves and by the wind. The wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples came, when they saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. Before I read any more, if you don't get anything else out of today's message, if you're in the middle of a storm, God wants to tell you today, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Be happy. So if you're in the middle of something today, hey, just be happy. Don't be afraid. The devil's a pro. He's a master at scaring us, isn't he? Anybody ever been in a trial or some kind of a tribulation or a thing where and fear didn't try to grip your heart? And usually it does, but the word to you today is don't be afraid. It says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water. So He said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Holy Spirit, use us today. In the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm. I want to read you one more verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, and this I say to you for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, not that I might restrict you, but that for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Serve the Lord without distraction. You know, Peter had a pretty good miracle working here. You know that? He had a pretty good miracle here, but right in the middle of his miracle, he got distracted. Let me say to you, many of you today, many of you are in the middle of your miracle. The problem is, you can't see your miracle because you're too busy looking at the storm. The only thing that can stop Jesus from coming to you in the middle of this storm with this miracle, the only thing that can stop this miracle from being completed in your life is for you to get distracted. Easy to get distracted. That's how the enemy does it, though. He distracts us. He gets us to looking somewhere besides at Jesus. You know, we live in a time of spiritual peril. But you know what? We also live in a time of great, great potential. You know, I heard somebody say, well, it's the signs of the times. Heard somebody else say, yeah, but we're in the times of the signs. First, 2 Timothy 3:1 said this. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Everybody say, whoa. Perilous times will come. In the last day, all kinds of evil will rise. How many really believe we're in the last day? Everybody say it one more time. Whoa. We're in perilous times, spiritual perilous times. But don't you get distracted, because Joel also said something about the last days. He said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. He said, everybody will prophesy. He said, you'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. He said, I'll just cause mighty things to happen. In the last days. So what I'm saying is, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to look at all the gloom and doom and get distracted. But to those of us that are born again, we got a risen Savior we can look at. We got somebody that's more than enough. We got somebody that's already conquered all this natural stuff. Don't you get sidetracked. Don't you get distracted. Don't you get distracted by all the gloom and doom and I finally just had to quit listening to the debates and listening to all the news. And I just finally had to kind of turn it off. And I'll go, I'm like James Kelly, I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it for 30 minutes a day, but that's enough. Just so I can be caught up, just so I can see. There's no need to listen to it for 20 hours more for them to tell you the whole thing from everybody's point of view. But let me tell you something, don't get distracted by that, because we still live in the greatest nation on the earth. Don't get distracted by that, because there's still people that want to stand and salute the flag. Don't you get distracted by all this gloom and doom, because there's still Christians that believe in the Word of God and that are praying, that are standing. And don't you let that little minute group, that little few, speak for you. It's time for all of us to look to Jesus. It's time for all of us to let our voice be heard. It's time for all of us to see, let the goodness of God shine through us. What a perfect time in this last day when everything in the natural looks bad. What a perfect time for God to prove himself strong. Man, we're in the times of the signs, baby. Huh? Stuff's beginning to happen. And maybe it's you today. Maybe you're right in the middle. Don't be paying attention to the storm, because you're right in the middle of your miracle. Don't look at all that mess. Don't lose your focus. Don't get distracted. Because the Savior's coming to you. Huh? He's walking on the water to you. You can't stop him from coming to you. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. What a glorious time we live in. Now, we're either going to be doing one thing. You know, being distracted, getting distracted is a habit more than anything else, because we begin to pay more attention to the negative stuff, to the storms in life, to the bad things. But what a wonderful time, what a great time of opportunity for God through his people to prove himself strong. People ought to come to you in the week and go, well, how come you're so happy? And you can say, because I got Jesus on the inside of me, and he's happy. He's conquered all this mess we're living in. He's conquered all these problems that are around us. God's doing something miraculous in your life. But usually, we're so busy looking at the storm, concentrating on the wind, concentrating on the thunder and the waves, that we don't see what God's doing in our life. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 34, it says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from all of them. Everybody say all of them. You got any affliction? Anybody in here righteous? How many in here are righteous? Oh, Lord, we got to have an altar call right now. Everybody in here say, Lord Jesus. Say it. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I receive the price you paid for me. Come into my heart. Save me right now. Woo, thank you for making me the righteousness of God right now. How many in here are righteous? Okay. How many here ever have any afflictions? Okay. Who's going to deliver us from all of them? Jesus, the Lord. The Lord. I don't care what you're going through. It's going to be okay. Huh? Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, if you'll build your life on me. Let me just say something. We get to thinking here. We get it in our mind that if we have a storm, our faith is weak. Are you hearing me? I mean, we use whether things are going smooth in our life or whether they're going rough in our life to determine where we are spiritually, whether our faith's strong or what's going on in our life. Folks, if that's the measuring stick, then all these guys that wrote the Bible fail the test. We think if we have a storm and when the problem arises, oh, why is this happening to me? Peter said, don't think it's some strange thing when all these things happen. You got an enemy. You got a devil. He's going around like a roaring lion trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal all your dreams. He'll kill all your hope. He'll just totally ruin your life if you let him. So whether you have a storm or not has nothing to do with your relationship with God. Huh? Jesus said, if you'll build your house on me, when the storms come, he didn't say if they come. He said when they come, they won't blow your house down. See, some of you feeling like your house has been blown down. If it isn't blown down, it's pretty shaky, huh? But I'm going to tell you what, it's built strong because Jesus built it. Jesus did something for you. Jesus did something in your life. He did something. When you ask him by faith to come into your heart, he did something in your life, in your heart, that the devil can't touch. Quit worrying. Quit being up one day and wet down one day. And one day you feel like you're saved, and the next day you don't feel like you're saved. And one day you're questioning whether you're right with God, and the next day you're not. Stop all that. He can't take that from you. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You belong to Jesus. Everybody say, I belong to Jesus. Look at the person next to you and say, I knew it was going to be good, but it's going to be better than that. Well, I don't want to say that. Okay, then you stay there, but some of us are taking the trip. Some of us are on the move here. Oh, goodness gracious. It's good to sit up here on the platform when we're worshiping God and everything. Look out there and see some of y'all smiling. Not very many days, we're going to all just be smiling. How's it going, Hank? It's just, man, I'll tell you what, I'm getting hit everywhere I turn, but praise God, he's good. How's it going, Hank? You, everything going good? No, it's going terrible, but hallelujah, what does that have to do with anything? I can weather this storm. Just don't let your heart tell your face anything's wrong, and the devil will never know because he doesn't know what you think, and he just knows what you look like. Goes around like a roaring lion. How do you think he knows who he can devour, Terry? He looks at me and I'm going, oh, it's just so bad. The devil's after me. Oh my goodness. Oh, got him. Got her. Well, say, ain't this kind of elementary? I know, but sometimes we just need to go back to elementary school and learn the basics and realize who we are and recognize who we are and then tell the devil who we are and get a smile back on our face, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we belong to Him. And quit running yourself down. I didn't think about this till the other day, but how many know the Bible says He's the King of Kings? We say that all the time, but did you hear what that said? He's the King of Kings, Kenny. That means you're a king. Huh? He's the King of Kings. That means you're a king. Ladies, that means you're a queen, okay? We don't want to leave you out. Huh? He's the Lord of Lords. What does that mean? You're Lord. Oh, I'll get into that. You're a Lord. You know who you're Lord over? You're Lord over the devil. You're Lord over all His works. You're Lord over all He's done. You're Lord over Him. Why? Well, because of what Jesus did. It's not on your account. It's on His account. Say, well, Hank, I just don't know how you can say that. Well, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. Somebody said the other day, said, how are you doing so good? Hey, I said, man, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. It's His fault I'm doing good. Huh? It's His fault. It's His fault I have more than enough. It's His fault, not mine. Don't blame me. Don't get mad at me. I mean, it's His fault I'm healthy. It's His fault I walk without pain. I mean, that's His fault. I'm sorry. Don't blame me. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Him. It's His fault. It's His fault you're the righteousness of God. It's all because of Him. It's sure not on your account. It's on His account. Oh, now some of you are starting to smile. This is better than the sermon I had written down here too, by the way. Oh, listen, I'm just saying we got to get to a place where we don't get distracted by the storm. In the story, Peter's in the middle of the sea. He's in the middle of the storm. And Jesus is performing the greatest miracle of His life. But he gets distracted. Gets distracted. Let me just put this story in perspective. If you read verses 34 and 35 in that same chapter, you see that the purpose of this story isn't really the storm. I mean, their objective here wasn't to get out into the middle of the sea. It wasn't to walk on the water. It wasn't anything else. Their objective is, Jesus said, go to the other side. See, their objective was getting to the other side. And if you read 34 and 35, verses 34 and 35, you find out what happened there. When they got to the other side, miracles happened. Multitudes came. And they just, if they could just touch Jesus, they came. Demons ran. People were helped. People were delivered. People were healed. The ministry of God went forth. The purpose was, get on the other side over there. So get this in your mind. What that means to you is, what it means to you is, get on the other side. Get over where God's taking you. Come on, don't let the enemy, don't let the storm stop your destiny. The storm was just a vehicle in the middle of the trip to try to get them to not get there, to change their mind, to not go to the other side. And if it takes a miracle in the middle of your storm, don't get in the middle of your miracle and get to looking at the wind. Because He's going to get you to the other side. Do you understand? This is applicable to you. Let me just say this. A majority of you listening to me today, you will never be a preacher, a pastor. You will never be an apostle. You will never be a teacher. You will never be an evangelist. The majority of you will be part of the multitude. And so quit trying to be something you're not supposed to be, and quit trying to get somewhere you're not supposed to get. But the truth is, God has a promised land for every one of us. The promised land for all the multitudes there was is that Jesus get to the other side. The promised land for you, the miracle for you, the destination for you is for you to get where God's trying to take you. Because you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a big shot. God just wants a bunch of little shots that'll shoot. You want to know when the anointing really started raising in me in the last year or two? When I realized I didn't have to be a big shot. I didn't have to have a mega church. I didn't have to have 5,000 people. All I needed was you, and I just needed to love you and take care of you and let God be all in me He wanted to be. And if all He wants to be isn't what He wants somebody else to be, good. Quit trying to be something you're not supposed to be. Quit trying to live up to somebody's expectations. And quit trying to live up to all your own expectations. Huh? Get rid of all that guilt and that condemnation. It dawned on me, I lived most of my life under guilt and condemnation. I mean, I was never enough. I'm never at the right place. I never did it good enough. I never had enough. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? What this means for you is just God's got a destiny for you. He's got a place for you. And if that place for you is just to put $5 in the offering every week so somebody can get saved. If that destiny for you is just to witness to that one person on the job, quit worrying about the rest of it. Just say, God, what do you have for me to do? What do you have for me to do? Well, I don't know how we could even go back on this, but see, He has a call for you. He has a direction for you. He has a purpose for you. Huh? And the only reason the storms are here, see, listen. The enemy already figured out he can't stop you from getting saved because you got saved. And now, if I can convince about half of you that now that you're saved, he can't steal that from you. If I could just convince about half of you of that, then we'd all be in agreement and we'd all be in harmony. And if he can't steal that from you, then what's his next best thing? Just to cause you all the trouble he can cause you. Huh? Just to blow those storms up in your life. Blow them up in your path. Just do something to get you distracted. Just get something to get you looking the other way. Just get you something to get your eyes off Jesus. But see, the truth is, he can't get you unless you let him. Man, don't get distracted. Keep your eyes where they're supposed to be. The word for you today is, if you're in a storm, just keep on walking. Huh? If you're in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a test, in the middle of whatever it is, man, just keep on walking. Huh? He says, blessed. Psalms 23 says, blessed is the man that walks through the valley of Baca. Man, don't stay there. Just walk right on through. Is he getting you? Just use that shield of faith, and all them fiery darts will just fall down beside you and in front of you and behind you and all the rest of that. Just keep on walking. Just keep on. Don't stop and have a conversation with him. Just keep on walking. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You belong to Jesus. You okay today? Look at the person, yeah, give God some praise. Look at the person next to you and say, this is better than I thought it was going to be. Oh, we might as well have fun, huh? Everybody take a breath. Don't hold it, you'll faint. Take a breath, take another one. You ever been in the middle of a trial? Middle of something real heavy on you, and all of a sudden the dawn breaks, and the answer comes, and the pressure kind of leaves, and you go, whew. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Why don't you just do it ahead of time? Just go, whew. Just do it anyway. Ooh, I'm telling you what, the old storm's starting to split for some of y'all. Man, don't be like Peter and get distracted. If you just look, Jesus is coming. If you just look, man, he's walking on the water. If you just look, he's walking above that storm. If you just look, man, everybody just go, again, come on. Some of you too uptight, just go, man, it's okay. Think about whatever has been weighing you down. Think about that just for a second. Okay? I don't know what it is. Finances, health, kids not with God like they're supposed to be. Whatever. What is it, man? You had a fight with your husband or wife. What is it? You know, what is it? Think about it. What's been weighting you down all week, the last days? What's been so heavy on you? You got it? Now go, it's okay. That's what Jesus said to him when he came in the middle of the story. He said, don't be afraid, it's okay. You know, we're going to preach a sermon about how his faith wasn't strong and little faith. You know, baloney, man. I never did step out of a boat and take a few steps on the water, did you? No, Jesus said, man, what's the matter? You've been watching everything I'm doing. You stepped out here on the water. What happened to your faith, Peter? Peter said, I quit looking at you and I looked at the wind. Distractions. Let me say something real quick about distractions. Jesus gave Peter a great invitation to walk with him on the water. But look what happens. Something changes from a monumental miracle to a rescue mission. And I sometimes feel like most of my life, or a big part of my life, has been a rescue mission. How about you? But the invitation's there for you to walk on the water. And instead of walking on the water, he begins to sink. And the only thing that happened was that magical moment for him. That magical moment, he missed that magical moment because he got to looking at the wind. He got distracted. And I want you to understand what I'm saying, because many of you have great things happening in your life. God's doing things that you prayed for a year ago. He's doing things in your life that you've prayed for and you don't even remember you prayed for. And he's doing things and you're better off. You're in a better position right now than you were 6 months ago. And God's done big things in your life and you're so busy looking at the wind and looking at the waves and looking at all the other stuff that you got your eyes off Jesus. Amen. If you're going to hold and see that victory. The thing, hey, if you're going to hold on and get through this thing, and I just want to say this. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, how you doing? They said, oh, I'm holding on. Well, I've said that, and you've said that. Don't look at me like an angel. We've all said that. I'm just holding on. How many ever said something or thought something like, well, he said he wouldn't let more be put on me than I can bear, but this has got to be close to the limit. I'm just enduring. I love this one. I'm just enduring to the end. Hey, folks, the object isn't to endure. The object isn't how much you can endure. The object is get to the other side. The objective is to get to the other side. The objective is to be all that God wants me to be, to have all that God has for me. The objective is to get to my promised land. Well, so just keep on walking. Man, don't quit. I want you to notice something about the story here. Because Peter wasn't distracted by demons and devils. He was distracted by the wind. The wind's just a natural thing. Huh? The wind's just the wind. The devil's job is to constrain you, to limit you, to restrict you, to retain you. You see, the devil's job is to hold you down. Because whether you realize it or whether I realize it, he is scared to death of us. Because he knows what Jesus gave us. It's just us that we don't realize what he did for us and what he gave us. And he's scared to death that we're going to find out. See, he's doomed and he knows it. There's no hope for him. And he's just praying for a little bit, just a little bit of peace, just a little longer, because he knows where he's going to end up. If he can just keep me from realizing what Jesus did for me and the power, that resurrection power that lives on the inside of me, if he can just keep me from figuring that out, then I don't give him such a hard time. Now listen, I talked to somebody the other day and they just was telling me, he's just saying, hey, he said the devil's after me and the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that and he's causing this and he's causing that. But listen, the devil uses natural things. And most of us aren't fighting devils and demons. Sure, he's behind it. But most of us, what's making it impossible for us to be all we can be is natural things. What's hindering you from doing all that God's called you to do is not the devil. It's natural things. Most of us aren't coming face to face with the devil. It's these little distractions. Paying the bills. The cares of life. Flat tire on the car. The washing machine's breaking down. How am I going to send the kids to college? The paint's peeling off the house. Are you with me? It's the little distractions that are stopping you from being all, is stopping you from seeing the completion of that miracle in your life. It's the busyness. We're running all over the place, here and there. Folks, we've got to be careful and not let the natural things stop the spiritual forces that are trying to happen and take place in our life. We can't let the natural things stop the spiritual things. Luke 14 is a great story, and I'll just hurry and wrap this up. But Luke 14 is a great story. It talks about the master. He's prepared a great meal, and he sends out an invitation. And he says, hey, says the meal's all prepared. The table's spread. Everybody, come and eat. Everybody, come and eat. And one man says, well, I've bought a piece of real estate, so I won't be able to make it today, Master. Another person says, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I won't be able to make it because I have to train these animals. And another man said, well, I got married and so I would love to come to the meal, but I won't be able to because I'm distracted by relationships. See, the adversary at the master's table wasn't demons and devils. It was the natural things that were a distraction. I hope somebody will hear me. The busyness, the business, the materialism, the relationships, all the things that took priority over Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. The thing that's stopping you from God, stopping God from doing big things in your life is not that he doesn't want to, and it's not anything, it's not devils and demons because they can't stop him. It's the distractions in your life. all the busyness. Some of us are so busy running, so busy doing this. I'm talking all the activities. I'm talking all the sports. I'm talking all the things that are going on in our life. I mean, just we're getting pulled here. We're getting pulled there. I mean, just everything seems to attach itself to us and to our spirit and to our lives. And some of you got more attachments than a Kirby vacuum cleaner. Heard somebody say that. I thought it's cute, so I thought I'd say it. You got more things pulling on you and tugging on you and tangling you up. And now, summer's here, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff that's able to distract us. Listen. I think you ought to take a vacation. And I think you ought to be able to go on one and turn everything off and enjoy it and have a good time. But man, don't take the whole summer off for vacation. Huh? Distractions. Listen, I think your kids ought to be in sports, and I think that's important. But listen, parents, listen. And I know you're going to be mad at this. Look at the person next to you and say, this was sweet in my mouth, but now it's getting bitter in my belly. Don't teach your kids that sports and the activities that the world puts on are more important than God and His things. Don't teach them that. Oh, well, we got God for you. Yeah, I know, but if you're missing every service because you got something going on, God isn't first. I'm sorry, He's not first. I love the story you told Monday morning about camp when you were a kid in camp. And when he cuts that beard off, he's going to look like a kid again. Oh, I can't hardly wait. But anyway. He said, you know, he played football and all that. And he said it cost him something to go to camp. Because when he came back, he had to miss practice when he went. When he came back, he had to work harder than anybody else. He had to work and make up the things that he had missed the week he was gone to camp. He said it cost him something to go, but it was worth it. Sometimes it'll cost you something to live for God, but folks, it's worth it. All this stuff we're going through now isn't going to be here in a couple minutes. I just need to keep my eyes on Jesus. So, well, my kids know that Jesus is first place. Yeah, but they already would rather go do whatever it is y'all go do than they would to come to church. Now, I'm sorry if you think there's some magic moment in their life when they reach about 17 or 18 that all this is going to shift. Wake up. Well, I'm just, yeah, I give God some praise. I guess I'll just wrap this thing up. But the whole thing is, we need to, hey, listen, we all got natural things. We all got things going on. I'm not saying we don't do nothing. I mean, it'd be a pretty boring life if all you do is just come to church. Huh? I mean, some of you are older, and you remember what that's like, and you just, most of your life, all you did was go to church, and you hated it. Now it's even hard to get you here sometimes on Sunday because of all that past experience. We all got stuff, but what I'm saying is, man, you know, my focus needs to be on Jesus. Huh? I mean, my attitude needs to be on Jesus. You know, I can say one thing. I have messed up in my life, and I have been bad example for my kids. If you could do it wrong, I probably did it. Anybody in that club? But you know what? Through it all, they saw that Dad was going to stand for the Lord. And because of it, I got one of my sons in heaven and one of them on their way. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You say, well, Hank, I, you know... Everyone in the sound of my voice God has greatness for you. He wants to do great things in your life. He wants you to experience great victory, great blessing, great anointing. He wants you to have abundance. Jesus said, that's why I came, so you could have abundant life, and you don't have to wait to heaven till you get it. You can start having it right now. You say, well, I'm all tangled up. Well, what do you do? Well, you just say, hey, God, I'm putting my eyes back on you. Now, you think that I'm talking to you. But I had this message, worked on this message all week. And you know what I was saying this morning? I like to wake up on Sunday morning, boy, when I know I got a message. I like to wake up feeling it, boy, and have it stirred in my heart. You know what I woke up? Woke up nothing. Well, I've learned not to let that sway me, not to let that turn me. I've learned that doesn't mean nothing. That doesn't change my relationship with God. That doesn't change who I am. That doesn't change how much He loves me. That doesn't change anything else. It's just a distraction to me. And you know what I was praying this morning? I forgot all about this message. I guess that's why I didn't preach the one I had there. I forgot all about this message, and I was sitting there, and I went through it. I got up at 5 and went down, and I was studying, and I was meditating, and I was thinking, and I finally just shut it all and did it, and I went in, and I sat down by myself, just me and the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm distracted. How can I talk about distraction when I'm distracted? And so I said, well, what are you going to tell them? I'm going to say, well, I mean, don't paint somebody in a corner and then don't tell them how to get out of the corner. I said, well, I'm going to tell them, if you're in that place, just get your eyes back on Jesus. And so I said, that's good. That's a good phrase, isn't it? Yeah, go ahead and give Jesus some praise. Go ahead, it's okay. You don't have to ask permission around here. And I said, well, just get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. I said, you know what, God? I can come to you now because of Jesus. So, Jesus, I just got my eyes on you. I'm not worried about the distractions. I'm not worried about all the people that called and said they wouldn't be there today because they had to do this or they were sick or they had to go there. I'm not going to think about all that stuff. I'm not going to think about the distractions. I'm not going to think about anything. I said, my eyes are on you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You made it possible that I can walk right into the throne room of my Father, right into that throne of grace. I said, Father, I stand here right now because of you, because of Jesus. I'm right here before you because of Jesus. And I can come boldly before you because of you, Jesus. I just put my eyes on Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm well now because of you, Jesus. I'm well now because of what you did. I've got more than enough now because of what you did, Jesus. I just got my eyes on you, Jesus. What you did for me. You made all things possible to me, Jesus. Thank you. I put my eyes on you. I'm praising you. And I'm telling you, I still didn't feel anything. So I just shifted it into another gear. I said, glory to God, I come to your throne of grace because I can find mercy in my time of need. I can get help when I need it. I come to you. That's my confession and I'm holding it to it. Jesus, you're my confession. Jesus, you, I'm looking at you. I'm focusing on you. This isn't about me. This is about you. This isn't on my account. This is on your account. I can't do this because I did anything good. I can do this because you did everything good. I don't have anything from God because my account. I have everything on your account. So God, just cancel my account and I'll just take Jesus' account. After a while, things will start shaping. I mean, things will start turning. I didn't say the storm wasn't still there, but you're not paying attention to the storm. I'm just telling you, if you're in a storm, just smile. Don't worry about it. Don't think there's something wrong with you because you're in a storm. No, you're in a storm. Just smile because Jesus is right in there with you. Huh? Jesus is right in there with you. Do you need to walk on the water? He'll say, come on. Come on. Come on, give me a hand. Woo. And if you fall, he won't kick you. He didn't kick Peter. He didn't cuss him out. He said, whoa. He said, immediately, he grabbed him. You feel like you're starting to sink sometimes? Immediately, he'll grab you. I'm just telling you, right in the middle, right in the middle of everything the enemy can throw at you, right in the middle, Jesus will show up in your life with a miracle. And when he starts doing that miracle, you just start focusing on him. You just keep your eyes on him. Thank you, God, this is starting to work. Thank you, God, this is starting to turn. I thank you, Jesus. It's all because of you. This is changing in my life. I thank you. It's because of you. And don't wait to see the storm stop. Don't wait to see the waves settle down. Just start to keep focusing on him. The storm might be raging even more, but you won't even be paying attention to the storm because Jesus is in your boat. Besides that, he can't get in your boat without the storm stopping. Do you understand? Has anything helped you today? Let's quit. Everybody stand. Let's just quit. Holy Spirit, only you could take this message as much as I messed it up today. Only you could take this message and make it do something in everybody that's hearing me's heart. Only you could do that, Holy Spirit, and I thank you and I praise you. Jesus, we put our eyes on you right now. We put our eyes on you right now. Oh, listen to me. I'm telling you, man, you're going to sell so many cars that all the rest of the salesmen want to know what in the world has happened to you. You can say, Jesus is in my boat. He's in my boat. I'm telling you, you're going to start touching things and everything you touch is going to start prospering. And they're going to say, what is it about you? And you can say, Jesus is in my boat. Things will be down and everybody be discouraged and down and you'll have a smile on their face and they'll say, what's so different about you? And you can go, man, Jesus is in my boat. Don't wait till you get out of the storm. It's right in the middle of the storm where God gets all the glory because he comes into your life and he does those big things. You in a dark time? Whew. Same God that loved you in the light, he loves you in the dark. Same God that was with you then, he's with you there. Huh? If you're in the valley, you're in the valley of the shadow of death, just walk on through it. Don't stop. Don't stay there. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Father, we come before you now and we just thank you. And we just put our eyes on you, Jesus. Just put our eyes on you, Jesus. Nobody looking. Everybody shut your eyes for just a minute. How many in here, you've been in the middle of a storm? And now you're just going to start shifting your focus back on Jesus. Nobody's looking. Hands all over. What about you? You just say, help me, Holy Spirit, put my eyes. Help me, Holy Spirit, get my focus back right here. Help me get my eyes on you, Jesus. You can't even do that unless he helps you. But he's there to help you. He's there to lead you and guide you into all truth. Glory to God. Don't believe those lies the devil's been telling you. Don't believe all the circumstances of those storms. You serve the risen Savior. He rose just for you. Glory to God. And because he lives, we can live. Just tell him right now you love him. Just tell him right now you love him. Everybody in here, say again, somebody in here, you don't know Jesus. You say, man, I got to get enrolled in this program. I think I've asked him into my heart. I think, but I'm not for sure. If you're not for sure, just say right now, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to give you my life. I want to live it for you. But I need your help. So thank you for helping me right now. Thank you for saving me right now. We all need his help, folks. None of us can do it without his help. None of us can do it without him. We're going to sing a verse here as we... matter of fact, I'm just going to... What am I going to do, Lord? Sing one verse real quick. Real quick. If you need to come, come. If you prayed that prayer, come. Let us pray with you. I want to give you something down here. I want to give you a little book to help you. Somebody here, you just got distracted. You just need to rededicate your life. If that's you, come on down here. Let one of us pray with you. Somebody here, you just been in the middle of a storm and you just want to walk down as an act of praise to the Lord. You might not even need anybody to pray with you. They come try to pray with you. You say, I just came down to praise my God because my eyes are on Jesus now. My eyes are on Jesus. If you need to come, come. Who is it here that you needed to be baptized? You needed to be baptized. If that's you, come on. We want to baptize you. Well, last week we had 13 people baptized. Isn't God good? 10 folks saved and 6 folks rededicated, and that's just the ones we knew about. If you need something from God today, don't leave without getting it. You can be our success story next week. How about that? Just praise Him right where you are if you need to. Just thank Him right where, if you don't need to come, just thank Him right where you are. If you need somebody to agree with you on something, you need somebody to pray with you about something, you just come on. Ooh, you're great, Jesus. You're wonderful, Jesus. Because of you. It's all because of you, Jesus. Just worship Him. Just praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo, is He your Lord? Oh, isn't He good? Hey, if you need to come, you still come after we dismiss here. You still come on down. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. We don't want you walking out. We want you to leave all your load down here. We don't want you carrying it home with you. But how many in here going to look at storms a little bit different now? I know I am. How many in here say, Lord, I don't want to be distracted. Say, Holy Spirit, help me not be distracted. Help me get my eyes focused back on Jesus. Oh, listen to me. I speak His blessings on you, and I believe Him to touch you today. I believe Him to touch you this very week. I believe that everything the enemy tries to throw at you, it's just going to fall off, because the power of God, the anointing of God, is going to be so strong in your life. So strong. So I speak those blessings on you. And I say you be blessed and you have a great week. Tonight at 6 o'clock over in the fellowship hall, Frank Petrosino. Frank, wave at me. Frank, okay, tonight and next Sunday night, Frank's going to be teaching us. And I'm going to tell you what, Frank's one of the best teachers that I've ever heard. And I appreciate him. And anyway, he's going to be sharing with us for 2 Sunday nights. So if you can be here at 6, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. That enough pressure, Frank? Hallelujah. Hey, you be blessed. I love you. If you still need to come, we want to pray with you.